الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم So we should start from verse number 165 of Surah Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ And from amongst those who take gods except for Allah, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ And they love them as they should love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And those who believe, أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ They are much, much, much more firm in their love for Allah. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا And if those who did zulm, who did injustice could see, if يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ If they would see the azab, the punishment on that day, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا And that all power belongs to Allah, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ And that Allah is severe in punishment. The link to the last verses, the previous verses is that we're talking about the mushrikun. That how would they establish partners beside Allah? How would they establish partners beside Allah and how would they love them? So Allah Ta'ala is telling over here that the people of Kaaba, the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen, would establish partners besides Allah and then they would love them as they should have loved Allah Ta'ala. So first point that Allah Ta'ala wants to make over here, the first characteristic that Allah Ta'ala is telling us about mushrikeen is that they establish idols besides Allah. And second is then they love them. And then they love them as they should love Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala is telling us the characteristic of a mu'min, of a believer. That Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ That a person who believes are much, much more firm in their love for Allah. So the Mufassirun have taken this point over here. Then the whole Quran, Allah Ta'ala has used the word Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. So Allah Ta'ala has then direct khitab. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh, you believe you should do this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, you should do this. But here Allah Ta'ala is saying, wal ladhina amanu. So Allah Ta'ala is defining. Allah Ta'ala is defining the criteria for a mu'min. That a mu'min is one who loves Allah Ta'ala, who is much, much more firm in his love for Allah Ta'ala. And then when you're much, much more firm in your love for Allah Ta'ala, you'll be negating the characteristics of the mushrikun. And there were two characteristics. One is of establishing partners besides Allah. And second is loving something or someone as you love Allah. And this is a very important point over here, that we as Muslims, we alhamdulillah, as a majority, we abstain from shirk. We abstain from establishing idols or establishing partners to Allah Ta'ala. But when it comes to yuhibbunahum kahubbillah, when it comes to this point of loving someone or something as you would love Allah, the majority of the ummah is indulgent. So what is loving Allah? So loving Allah is a huge topic. But what about when you love someone like Allah? So when you love someone like Allah, what will happen is that you will give them priority over Allah. You will give them priority over deen. You will try to bring them into your issues when you know that that is haram, when that thing is forbidden by Allah Ta'ala. So a Muslim is one who tries to abstain from this. His main and sole purpose of his life will be love for Allah Ta'ala. Now, in a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said that you should love Allah Ta'ala because of the in'amat that He has given you, the blessings that He has given you. Now, why did the Prophet ﷺ mention the blessings in his hadith? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned the blessings in his hadith because when a person is blessed by someone, or when a person is given even a gift, a minor gift by someone, you have this kind of love and respect in your heart for that person. So imagine a person having a pet dog, or a pet animal, or a pet cat, or a pet, even a lion. So if he's feeding the lion, if he is training the lion, if he is giving a home or living for the lion, that lion will be so loyal to him that even if, despite the fact that he is extremely hungry, he won't eat his master. Why? Because the master is feeding him, has given him a provision, has given him a home, and everything. So he is loyal to him. Similarly, imagine that Allah Ta'ala has given us so much. He is blessed with the house, He is blessed with family, He is blessed with the risk, He is blessed with everything. How much we should love Allah Ta'ala and how much we should be loyal to Allah Ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that you should love Allah Ta'ala for the inamat, for the blessing that He has given you. And then in the same hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has added, and you should love me because for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So that you should love Allah Ta'ala for the blessing He has given you, and then you should love me, that is the Prophet ﷺ, because Allah Ta'ala loves me. Right? Now, when you love Allah Ta'ala, or you love anyone, so love needs manifestation. It's not possible that you love someone and you cannot manifest your love. So when a mu'min loves Allah Ta'ala, there will be certain manifestations that will be quite obvious. So a person who thinks that he loves Allah Ta'ala, who wants to love Allah Ta'ala, he will be acting upon deen. He will be acting upon the faraiz of the deen. He will be acting upon the wajibat of the deen. He will be acting upon the established sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because he thinks that he loves Allah Ta'ala. And the love of Allah Ta'ala will completely take over his heart once he acts completely on the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Another important point over here is that this word hub, haba, Allah Ta'ala has used the word hub. This word habba yuhibbu, this word hub has a meaning in English language or in Arabic. In Urdu, it's basically used for seed. Small seed. So what is the link between a seed and this word hub, muhabba? So the Mufassir explained this, that it is just the seed of muhabba that Allah Ta'ala is implanted in each and everyone's heart in Yawm Arwah. What was Yawm Arwah? We were studying Surah Al-A'raf, that Allah Ta'ala, before the creation of this universe, Allah Ta'ala called upon all the arwah, all the ruhs, all the souls of the humanity, and Allah Ta'ala called them on one plane. And then Allah Ta'ala asked them that, am I not your Rabb? And everyone said, Kalu Bala, yes indeed you are our Rabb. So the Mufassirin said that it is on that day Allah Ta'ala implanted the seed of His love in every soul. Now similarly, like a gardener, if the gardener takes care of the seed, if the gardener waters the seed, if the gardener tries to flourish the plant, then only the seed will grow into a tree and the tree will bear fruits. Hence a Muslim who has this love for Allah Ta'ala in his heart, but Allah Ta'ala has put this seed inside the heart, a moment a Muslim also has to take care of the seed. And how will he take care of the seed is by certain actions. He will have to act upon the deen, and he will have to fulfill some of the things that he has to do to build upon this love for Allah Ta'ala. So the mashayikh have mentioned at least 7 to 8 things that we can do to increase our love for Allah Ta'ala. The first and the foremost thing to do is to abstain from sinning. A person who abstains from sinning will be able to develop this love for Allah Ta'ala, and he will be able to work upon this love. The second important thing for anyone to develop his love is to recite Quran as much as he can. Why? Because Quran is the Kalamullah, is the word of Allah Ta'ala. So the more often you recite the word of Allah Ta'ala, the more love you will have for Allah Ta'ala. The third thing is reciting or offering extra nawafil prayers. You have to offer extra prayers. So when a person offers extra nawafil prayers, then the love for Allah Ta'ala will develop it. Now the example of this is, or Hazrat Dhamgan gives it, that the faraiz, the farz salah, is like something which is farz upon us. Then the sunnah and the nawafil are like castles surrounding these faraiz. So when a shaitan wants to attack someone, if that person who offers faraiz, who offers sunnah, and then who offers nawafil, so if the shaitan attacks that person, he will not be able to snatch away the faraiz from him. He will be able to snatch away the nawafil from him, because the nawafil are the first thing that come in his way. The moment he snatches away the nawafil and he's being able to snatch it for around a couple of days, the next target might be the sunnah. the sunnah rakats that you might offer. Once the sunnah rakats are taken away by shaitan, then the shaitan might attack the faraiz and might take him away from the faraiz. Therefore, a person who wants to love Allah and wants this love inside him, he should establish the faraiz, he should establish the sunnah rakat of the salah, and he should offer nawafil. So in nawafil, it can be ishraq, it can be chasht, it can be awabain, it can be tahajjud. All of these come into nafil. And then there are two rakat nawafil after every salah, after zuhur, after maghrib, after isha. There are two rakat nawafil after every namaz. Then the fourth thing, which is very important to develop the love of Allah Ta'ala, is to remember death very frequently. So now the question is, how is death, remembering death, related to the love of Allah Ta'ala? The problem is that this heart is made to love something. If you don't love Allah, it will definitely love Ghairullah. And our case is that we have this love of dunya in ourselves. So much so that everything for us is surrounded by dunya. Our sole purpose of existence is to gain more and more dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, Sahih hadith, حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة, that the love for this dunya is the root cause for each and every sin that a person does. So if you think of any sin in this world, it will be related to حب الدنيا. It will be related to the love of dunya. So now, how do you reduce this love for dunya? By remembering death. By remembering that you will not stay in this life for long. You have to go away from this dunya into akhirah. So remembering death. Then the fifth thing is doing zikr kaseer. You do zikr of Allah Ta'ala very frequently. Now what is zikr kaseer? The zikr kaseer is that remembering Allah Ta'ala in all situations. Sitting, standing, lying down. In every situation, remembering Allah Ta'ala. So when you get into a state of constant remembrance, then only you will feel this love for Allah Ta'ala in your heart. The example of this is that if there's a mother who has a very young, beautiful kid, she loves her child so much that in every sitting that she sits in, every majlis that she sits in, she will be speaking about her child. That my baby is this, like this, my baby is like this, my baby is like this. Why? Because she has this love for the baby. Similarly, for a mu'min who loves Allah Ta'ala and who wants to love Allah Ta'ala, he will have to do zikr of Allah Ta'ala. It is not possible to have love of Allah Ta'ala without zikr of Allah Ta'ala. It's impossible. You cannot imagine having love of Allah Ta'ala in your heart without doing his zikr. Without doing his zikr kaseer. The sixth thing, the most important of all, is following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, doing his ittiba. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has said in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that O Prophet ﷺ used to say to them, that if you want to love Allah Ta'ala, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that if you love Allah Ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, you should do my ittiba, you should follow me, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah Ta'ala will love you, and Allah Ta'ala will make you beloved. So the ayat starts with that if you want to love Allah Ta'ala, and the answer being given is that Allah Ta'ala will love you. If you do what? فَاتَّبِعُونِي, if you follow the Prophet ﷺ. Therefore the mashayikh say that a person who's indulged into sunnah from his head to toe, he will have same level of love for Allah Ta'ala. So it is not possible for a person to abstain from sunnahs and get the love of Allah Ta'ala. It is impossible for a person to stay away from sunnahs and get the love of Allah Ta'ala. So you need to do the ittiba of Rasulullah ﷺ to get the love of Allah Ta'ala. Now, this was I think the seventh thing or sixth. The seventh thing which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in this verse as well is remembering the Day of Judgment. Remembering the Yawmul Qiyamah. Remembering when Allah Ta'ala will question us about our deeds. Why? Because when you remember that day, and when you remember that what Allah Ta'ala will ask us on that day, you will always be aware of what you do. So it comes in the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that on the Day of Judgment, there will be 5 questions which will be asked by each and everyone. Why? Am I mentioning these questions? Because considering the Day of Judgment without these questions is incomplete. So these 5 questions will be asked by Allah Ta'ala from every believer or non-believer. The first question will be that where did you spend your whole life? So whether you spent your whole life on deen, or whether you stayed your whole life running away from deen, or you stayed your whole life 50% deen, 50% living without deen, or 60% with deen, 40% without deen, 50% sinning, 50% not sinning. So what will be the answer? The second thing that Allah Ta'ala will ask is that where did you spend your youth? Now the Muhaddiseen have gone into details that why did Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala asks us about the whole life, youth is included in the life, because whatever we live from 0 to 60, 20 to 40 is also included into it, right? So when Allah Ta'ala is asking about 0 to 60 that you live, where do you live your whole life, then what is the point of asking about the youth? The Muhaddiseen have said that this is the time, the youth, and the youth is described like 18 to 40 in Sharia, this is the time when the emotions, when the emotions to sin, when the emotions to transgress are at its peak. It's impossible for a person to think of those sins at the age of 70 or 80, which a person will be thinking at this age. Because he'll be lacking those powers, he'll be lacking those energies. Therefore Allah Ta'ala will specifically ask us about this age. And then the other important point is that this is the age when a person can do maximum ibadah. Now when a person reaches 60, 70, he'll be having, I mean, in our term, osteoarthritis. He won't be able to walk, he won't be able to bend, he won't be able to do sajda. He'll be sitting on a chair and doing sajda. Unfortunately for him. But when at the age of 20 to 40, this is the time when he can do maximum ibadah. When he can stand for like half an hour and do ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. When he can do muraqbas for 1 hour and 2 hours. But when he ends at the age of 60, 70, I mean, he's a babaji now. He's just ready to go to the grave. So therefore Allah Ta'ala will ask him about that time, about the youth. Now the third question Allah Ta'ala will ask is, this: from where did you earn your income? Whether your income is halal or haram. Whether you spent in the right way or the wrong way. What you earn, you spend on your family, but that's a sadaqa as well. Whether you spend on something haram, or you spend it only on halal. The fourth question is, that Allah Ta'ala will ask is where did you earn? And then the fourth is, it's related, some Muhaddiseen has counted as one and some have broken into two. That where did you spend your income? So when you earn from halal, whether you spend into halal or haram. And the fifth question, which is very important for us, those sitting in this madrasa, those sitting in this khanka, those sitting in this tafsir class, is Allah Ta'ala will ask us about how much did we act upon the ilm that we have. So now everyone sitting over here in this class knows about the haram and the halal, knows about the wajibat and faraiz, knows about the established sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and then Allah Ta'ala will ask us, you had the ilm, but did you act upon it or not? So it's very important that we just don't come here to seek knowledge, we come here to do amal on it. Seeking knowledge without amal is incomplete. I mean, it's useless. Trust me, it's useless. So the fifth question that Allah Ta'ala will ask us is that how much did we act upon the ilm that we have? So now, I think the homework for us will be to write these 5 questions in our bedrooms and stick it in our bedrooms and look at it on daily basis and try to ponder upon the 7th point to develop this love of Allah Ta'ala, that we imagine ourselves standing in front of Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala is asking these questions. And what will be the answer that we will be able to give him? So these are the 7 things that seven things that we should work upon to establish the love of Allah Ta'ala in our heart. Now, when Allah Ta'ala is talking about love of Allah, for love for Himself, Allah Ta'ala is saying that a believer is most firm in the love for Allah Ta'ala. Another important point, I mean, this is not from these 7 points, is that when a person loves something, when a person loves something, it's in a Sahih Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, that often the love makes you blind in that love for the person or in the love for that thing. Now the Muhaddithin have spoken about this hadith in quite detail, that this hadith can be taken in a positive way and a negative way. So if a person is too much indulged in the love for dunya, this dunya will make him blind. So he won't think of halal and haram. He will indulge in both. And will be able, he won't distinguish what is halal and haram. Therefore, a person has to love Allah Ta'ala, and then another important point is that he has to love ghairullah for the sake of Allah. So how is that possible? So for example, if somebody asks us a thaniya from Allah Ta'ala, that you ask us to love Allah Ta'ala only, but will this, and to negate everything else, to negate ghairullah. Hazrat Thani Ramallah has written in his book At-Takashuf that somebody asked him about loving Allah Ta'ala only and letting go of everything except Allah Ta'ala. And so the person asked that, should we even let go of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Because when you think of Allah and love for Allah Ta'ala, then it's only Allah you have to love. Hazrat Thani Ramallah replied that you have to love Allah and then you have to love for Allah. So you have to love Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for Allah, because loving Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is loving Allah. Because loving Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is loving Allah. And then the Thani Ramallah explains this very beautiful point, that similarly when you love the jais love, so for example, so you love your mother, you love your wife, you love your children, you love your family, so all these loves will be included in love for Allah Ta'ala. And how did he say this point? Because it comes in a Sahih Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah." A person who loves for Allah and who hates for Allah. Wa a'ta lillah, and who gives for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Wa mana'a lillah, and who stops giving for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Faqad istakmala al-iman, indeed his iman has completed. So the completion of iman is described by the Prophet ﷺ as something that a person loves for Allah and hates for Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, whatever we love, so we have to think this, and this is for everyone of us to contemplate on, that whether we love this thing for Allah, and whether this love of ours will even come into this category of loving for Allah or not. So we can't love a namahram for Allah, it's haram. We can't love this dunya for Allah, it's haram. Yes, you can love spending this dunya in the way of Allah Ta'ala for Allah Ta'ala. Then another important point regarding this thing is that we have to abstain from all those things which will prevent us from loving Allah Ta'ala. So some things are there which will prevent us from getting close to Allah Ta'ala or from getting this love of Allah Ta'ala. At least I think only one is mentioned in this verse. It is loving something like Allah. The second thing mentioned is that when you prefer something over Allah. So when we prefer dunya over Allah, when we prefer our sins, na'uzubillah min zalik, over Allah, those are the things when Allah Ta'ala will prevent us from getting close to Him. Nazir Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala in his tafsir in this ayah has written one very beautiful point. Nazir Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala writes that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this last part, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. That on that day, when they will see the torment, and then they will see that all power belongs to Allah, and that Allah is severe in punishment. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this over here, but what is the net result of it? So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib writes that if any mushrik, or any person who loves someone except Allah, when he would see this punishment on the day of judgment, and when he would see that everything belongs to Allah, then he will regret his love for ghairullah. Because then he will realize that nothing except for Allah Ta'ala will be able to help him or guide him to Jannah. No deity, no idol, nothing will be able to take him to Jannah except for Allah Ta'ala. And therefore, the Mufti Shafi Sahib Ramadan writes that a mushrik at the time of the Prophet ﷺ could take guidance from this verse only if he would have pondered on this last part, that when they would see the azab, they would realize that it's only Allah Ta'ala who's an-nafi', who's the one who can give benefit to anyone. And he's the one who's al-dhar, that he's the one who can harm anyone. It's not a single idol, not any other person who can harm you or benefit you. And therefore, in another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said, I mean, it's a long hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ gave some very important, beautiful points to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ in a camel. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in front of Sayyidina ibn Abbas. I mean, one of the conditions. But in the hadith it says that Sayyidina ibn Abbas's body was touching the Prophet ﷺ's body. And then Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ gave him some important points. And in those important points, there were two very important points that we need to mention over here, is that the Prophet ﷺ said to Sayyidina ibn Abbas, and he said, Ya Walad, O child, you should always remember that nothing can harm you in this dunya. If Allah wants to benefit you, if Allah wants that harm not to be with you, and nothing can stop anything that's harmful from you if Allah wants that harm to be with you. And therefore, one of our mashayikh gives a very beautiful example that when someone wants to come on deen, and when he faces these trials and tribulations from his family, from his co-workers, from his colleagues. So if someone wants to keep a sunnah beard, if someone wants to keep a sunnah appearance, he wants to dress up in sunnah, if he's trying to get on the path of getting closer to Allah, then he thinks of these things that the whole world is against me. And that's what the reality is nowadays, that the whole world, almost the whole world, except for some, try to go against him. And they try to, you're becoming a Maulvi, you're becoming like this, you're becoming like that. And then one of the mashayikhs give a very beautiful example. That person is, okay, so the whole world is against him. So the whole world is against you. The whole world is against you. So you can keep the whole world in one part of the balance. So you have this balance, you can keep the whole world in one of the part of the balance, and you are all alone in this other part of the balance. So definitely the other part of the balance will prevail, because it's the whole world. It's your mother, it's your father, it's your wife, it's your children, it's everyone over there, and you're all alone. But now, let's add something to it. So now, there's a whole world in the other balance, and then you're all alone, and then there's Allah with you. So now, which part will prevail? Definitely Allah. Because Allah is Al-Kabir, and Allah prevails over everything else. So when it's Allah and you, then nothing can fight you. I mean, you can fight everything against yourself if it's Allah and you, even if it's the whole world. But if it's just the whole world and you, definitely you'll fail, and the world will dominate over you. So we need to always think that if we are doing something for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will be with us. And when Allah is with us, we don't need to care about anything else. We don't need to care about anything else except Allah. Therefore, the message for today is that we need to work upon these seven things to get this love of Allah Ta'ala, to establish this love of Allah Ta'ala, and then those five questions that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the five or four questions, we need to work upon those questions and keep thinking and rethinking on a daily basis on those questions, that are we prepared to answer those questions on the Day of Judgment or not. So let us just retranslate this verse. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله. And among the people there are some who set up partners beside Allah whom they love just like the love of Allah. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. And those who believe, or those who are believers, they are much 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 more firm in their love for Allah. ولو يرى الذين ظلموا. And those who did unjust, or who were unjust, would see if yahud al azab, when they will see the azab, the punishment, and al kuwata lillahi jamia, and then if you can translate this word, and then they will imagine that each and everything and all power belongs to Allah, wa anna Allah shadidul azab, and that Allah is severe in punishment. So may Allah Ta'ala make us from those who seek His love. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who abstain from the sins which will prevent us from getting His love. And may Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those who have this istizan, who have this point always in their mind, that أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that all power belongs to Allah. So when we want to walk on deen, we want to follow deen, we don't have to care about anything else except for Allah. So may Allah Ta'ala make our lives for Allah, let us live for Allah, let us die for Allah, and let us spend our whole life for Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك.